Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. And today we're going to be talking about a subject matter that some of you may say, whoa, can I relate to this? And others of you may say, Donna, I really think you've stepped off on the woo-woo platform. But I want to say it's always fun to talk with people that have had unique experiences and have walked a different path than many people have walked. And that is the case with my guest, Deborah Thunderbeat. Now, this is a woman that has been involved in music. She's extremely creative. She designs jewelry, has done all kinds of creative things with her life. She also has been involved with music and is a speaker. She has become involved with sound healing through the years. And she is a woman that the curious and the more curious has, well, it's touched her life in some very interesting ways. And that's what we're going to be learning about today. Deborah Thunderbeat, welcome to my show.
Oh, hi, Donna. Thank you so much for having me on.
You are a woman that has such unique experiences and, I would say, very diversified background. Your book is titled Look Up, My Encounters with ETs and Angels. And someone hearing that would say, okay, here we go. This is going to be La La Land special. And I want to say, no. I've talked to so many individuals through the years who have had their own particular experiences. I've listened to some prominent individuals state about unique experiences that they have had. But for you to have such a diversified background involving music and so many other creative components, the imaginative, the right brain side of you is very expressive. But you also have a very down-to-earth, what I call the left brain side. And I think in your book, Look Up, you wanted to convey information to people that there's more going on in life than just going out and having a fast cup of coffee and watching television shows. There's a lot of things going on in the world that most people aren't even awake to see or experience. Would you feel the same way?
Let's start from the beginning, where I had encounters when I was 4 years old. I was playing in my driveway, and I had I call them ships, come and pick me up in broad daylight. It was broad daylight, and they pulled me up onto a ship, and the ship was cloaked in a cloud. So I went up, and through this tube, there was steam around me, and as I was going up, my mother ran out of the house trying to catch me in midair, and they took her up too. So, and I call them ETs or star people, have been in contact with me and my mother throughout my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And they are good ones. I didn't have any trauma or any of those negative, fearful experiences. Actually, they surrounded me with golden light.
Mm-hmm.
And it was beautiful. It's actually beautiful. And they called me, I'm half Native American, and my father was Italian, and that combination there. But they called me a name, which is really what the Native Americans talk about. They called me Flying Eagle with Many Wings. But it took me all my life, I mean, through my teenage years, 20s, and 30s, to figure out what was really going on here. Because
mm-hmm.
it wasn't like, just here's the information, it's right in your face. It's just, like putting the pieces of the puzzle together.
Mm-hmm. I know some individuals that have had their own personal experiences, and some have been, you might say, a guest on some of these ships. Others have just been aware of the ships. And I'm thinking of a woman right now that I know of, that she and her brother, when they were about the same age that you were, when they were about four, and her brother, I think, was three, and he noticed it, but they got up early one morning, and they saw these ships down at the end of their street. Now, they were living in Texas at the time, and there was not a lot of housing at this particular period. And they said she was very much aware. She could describe the ship, and she said, "It's there, and I was aware of it, and I was curious. I wasn't afraid." Mm-hmm. So I've heard these stories from a number of different people. Yours is very interesting because you and your mother both were in this experience. Now, your mother, did she retain memory? Sometimes people don't retain the memory of these experiences. You did. Did your mother retain the memory?
After a time, she did. In the beginning, I didn't know what it was either, but and I had to have some regressions done, which is like a past mm-hmm. regression. She did during about 20-some-odd years later. They would come in and start visiting her in her home, and she would call me, and she'd say, "You know, they're here," and I knew they were here at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So we would talk about that, but she didn't remember as much as I did. Let's put mm-hmm. it that way. And
mm-hmm.
But there is, I've had done some research, and they do in family lines, and basically. They gave me so much information, helping me with my music, them and, color. They work with color, light, sound, and they're benevolent, beautiful, loving beings. You know, you always hear about the grays and all that, but I've never saw a gray on this ship. They were pink beings, and they were actually, some of them had uniforms, like, I know it sounds funny, but like Star Trek,
mm-hmm.
and they had the emblems on their uniforms, but they weren't Star Trek emblems, they were different emblems, and they were showing me information about the Earth, and the Earth, how it was very polluted, and that they've been here for centuries helping the planet Earth, and actually all the planets in our solar system, and they were helping Earth clean up the pollution on the planet. They said otherwise it would have been a disaster here. So they've actually been helping us tremendously.
One of the Aboriginal cultures, and I do not remember the name of the tribe right at the moment, in Australia there is a cave that not many people have had access to. And they say they go all the way back to a star people, and I'm using words perhaps they would not use, but they had an outline of a star system, and this is something that's been given to various people through the years, and in our so-called modern day, with our aspect of communicational capacities, people are communicating much more openly about these things, and for so long it was like, no, you don't talk about this.
Right.
It is really a fascinating phenomenon. Now, let's dip back into your musical background, because here you've had these experiences, you were young.
Mm-hmm.
You find at, what, about the age of 10 or 12, that you have a knack for playing drums. Now, very few girls end up playing drums. What was it that attracted you to that instrument?
Actually, I tried all these other instruments. I knew I loved music, but I tried all, like, keyboards. I took lessons for keyboards for a year and guitar, and I never thought drums because I guess I was a female. I didn't think of that until I was 15, and I was going out with a singer, and me and his drummer became very, very good friends, and I sat down behind the drum set for the first time, and I instantly knew how to play. It was just phenomenal, because before I had to take lessons, and I still didn't even learn that much, and this white light came over me with and surrounded the whole room with the drums while I was playing, And the whole band thought it was the drummer, Ralph, his name was, playing, because he goes, and Ralph said, he goes, I thought you said you never played drums before. I said, no, I never have. So, and I was just playing, and I just instantly knew this was going to be my instrument. And there was a full drum set, and I've been playing ever since, which is about 30 years. And, you know, I've played with major national acts and international acts on A&M Records and CBS Records and things like that. And now I became a solo artist in the year of 2000, and I work with Color Light Sound, which is the sound frequencies, you know, that bring mm-hmm. higher conscious states of awareness. And like Jonathan Goldman, you know, me and him are very good buddies, and we work with the chakras. I work with the chakras, with the colors and the activational tones. And so all my music is very healing and activation. It's activation to bring you into higher states of awareness. That's what it is. And I'm multi-award winning on that. And I really feel it's helped with the angels and the star people. Now, the angels, Archangel Gabriel came to me when I was overnight in the Great Pyramid, and he announced himself. And he said to me, he said, he's the one who, that was in 1997. It was before I went to be a solo artist. And he said, 7 is the sacred number, 7, color, light, sound. Now, if anybody knows about Gabriel from the Bible, you know, he's come blow your horn. He's a musician.
mm-hmm.
You know? So he's the one who really, you know, gave me this information and with my whole chakra series, which I have a whole chakra series with a CD, DVD, book, and actually a poster, and it's all with Kuan Yin. And it seems like these beings come to me and I channel their music. There's songs that Kuan Yin has given me when I'm playing the keyboards, and I also play keyboards with my music, keyboards and drums. And these songs come in. They come in to me, I don't know, it seems like out of nowhere.
mm-hmm.
But they're beautiful. They're just absolutely beautiful.
Well, I learned about you through Jonathan, and Jonathan Goldman has been a guest on my show and more than once, and he is very deeply committed to sound therapy for so many different things. And the two of you, I understood, had become quite well acquainted, and you were a guest at one of his conferences, and consequently, that's how I found out about you. Mm-hmm. Your material, you talk about these various sightings that you have, and you had a friend, Marianne, that you had a shared experience with, and you really found that there were things that you were being attracted to, that you were sort of getting a direction to go towards. And one of those arenas of experience involved your going to Egypt. And this is something that so many people have such an affinity for, is the Egyptian experience. And of course, now we're realizing that Egypt, as we were taught about, is a lot older than most people even want to recognize. You decided to go there, and you had so many very intense experiences. Now, this occurred, if I'm remembering correctly, 1997?
Correct.
You went over to Egypt?
Mm-hmm, first time, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you just had so many interesting experiences, and you've got a number of photographs in your book of Egypt. And you talk about the King Onuf tomb, and it's got all kinds of hieroglyphics all over it. You just really got it at the right angle. It's a fascinating wall. Tell us a little bit about your experience in the tombs and what it was like for you. And they're really not tombs, as people think. They're really not burial chambers.
Exactly. They are like schools, actually. They're rooms with knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And the ancient Egyptians, if you go to each their temples, each one tells a story. And when I was in that one, which is the Saqqara temple you're talking about, which is the oldest pyramid there they have discovered in Egypt, it's called the Step Pyramid Zozar. And when I went down to those chambers, you go down really pretty deep, and there's rooms, just the ceiling is all stars, and then the walls are from ceiling to floor with knowledge, with these writings. And I totally picked up, this is like the ancient Egyptian mystery school teachings. And this is not a tomb. And you sit in there, and I sat in there and meditated, and I could see colors. And I'm downloaded some information. Actually, in a lot of the temples, I downloaded information. But I said, this is not a tomb. This is definitely a school-like, or the ancient universal knowledge, I call it. And everyone talks about the Great Pyramid, and you know they never talk about the Middle Pyramid. The Middle Pyramid is actually my favorite pyramid, and it's a stargate where you can actually connect and go into a higher frequencies of sound, which I did some toning in there with some girls and another girl, and this other voices came in. We both heard them, and we shifted into a whole different time dimension. And what happened was, we thought we were only in there for 15 minutes. We were in there for an hour and a half. And we had went there by horseback, and the guy was holding our horses, and the horse guide, and we told him 15 minutes. He goes, you only can be in there 15 minutes because I have to take the horses back. So we get out, and he started yelling at us. He goes, you said you were going to be there 15 minutes. You've been in there an hour and a half. And we thought at the time, just flew. In the sense of, not because we were excited about being in there. There was a Japanese group that when we were meditating sitting on the floor, there was a Japanese group that tapped me on the shoulder and asked if we could take a picture of us, and I said, yeah. And when I looked at them, they were going in such fast motion, like if you see a movie on fast motion, speeded up, and I'm like, wow, that is strange, you know? And so I know we shifted into some different time dimension. Portal, and I didn't experience that in the Great Pyramid. I've been in the Great Pyramid three times. So, but yeah, it's very magical over in Egypt. The ancient Egyptian temples still have the magic. I would say in there, it's very just very dimensional. Even if you look at the walls, there was you can see the people healing each other with their hands. They used aromatherapy. They had the lotus flowers up to their noses. So the lotus flower is for the crown chakra, if people know about aromatherapy. And it's all about all over the walls, and no one ever talked about them there. Even the Egyptologists never mentioned these kinds of things. And it's right there in front of you, you know, if you know this information. You know.
You have a wonderful dog named Sheba.
Yeah.
And you were shown Sheba in advance of her coming in to your experience, and this animal is so special to you. Tell us a little bit about her.
Oh, Sheba. For 6 weeks I had a vision of her and her name, and it was kind of like almost haunting me. It's just coming to me, and I said, I don't know any dog named Sheba. I don't, who is this dog Sheba? And her face was like almost in my face in this vision. I actually literally got in my car, drove around my neighborhood, rolled my window down, and yelled, Sheba, Sheba, where are you? You know, it was that strong, this vision, for 6 weeks. And then after that, I said, I couldn't find her. I said, I don't know what this vision's all about, but it's driving me crazy. And I shut it down. I said, I don't want to know about this dog, Sheba. Leave me alone. So I didn't see the vision at all for another 2 weeks, or actually ever again, except for what happened was my girlfriend came over and asked me if I wanted to help my friends move. And I said, sure. So when I got to their house, the dog, Sheba, was there. And they were giving her, long story short, they were giving her away. They had to move, and they couldn't take her, and she was a puppy, 6 months old puppy. And I said, oh, my, that's my dog, Sheba, that I'm supposed to be with. That's my dog. And they gave me the dog, and she was extremely highly, highly intelligent. Highly intelligent dog. She was she was, you know, just a companion. I guess I felt I've had her since a past life or something. So.
Mm-hmm. Very special person. You are a world traveler with your music and with your studies, working with tonal frequencies, the effects of same. You incorporate that into so much of what you do. Mm-hmm. You use your drums, and you were very comfortable in the Middle Eastern environment. Now we'll go to another part of the world. We'll go to the Mayan experience, and you met a shaman that introduced you to that. And, of course, in South America, there's all kinds of pyramids. There's pyramids in China. There are pyramids in different parts of the world. Why was going to areas in Mexico and South America so important to you?
Well, in 1993, I think it was, I had this reading from this incredible lady. I saw her at a conference, and I said, I have to have a reading from her. And so I had a reading from her, and the first thing she said, though, I asked this question. She says, wait, I have to tell you right away that you were a Mayan high priestess not too long ago. And what was amazing to her, she said, that I went through the full 33 steps that most high priestess don't finish, because it takes almost a lifetime to learn these lessons. And she said, you did that. You completed, and you were a high priestess for like 75, 80 years in the Mayan land. And she said, did you know anything about the Mayans? I said, I knew a little bit back then. It was in 1993. I heard about them. And that got me fascinated. I said, oh, now I know I have to go. So I finally ended up going after in 1998, first time. And all my life I've been very, I can get visions, I can ask and receive information, and I get visions, like, and I was looking for the temple to see if I recognized anything, and I did. I recognized this one temple called Uxmal, and then I asked about it to our shaman guide, and he said, this is where the high priestess learn the 33 steps of lessons. And I said, oh, and I recognized the temple. And then mm-hmm. I saw myself on a vision on one of the temples being initiated by another shaman in the past. And she said it was about 1,000 years ago this happened. And I had a white dress on. I mean, full detail. White dress mm-hmm. on with bell sleeves and almost look like I do now. And I found out more information where I was there for 25 years. They brought me there when I was 5 years old. They knew that I was the high priestess for the area of belief. And they even told me my name. They said my name was Amara. And they said that they brought me to Uxmal, which is probably about 900 miles away from Belize, to this temple for 25 years, right, or 20 years, and then brought me back to be the high priest in Belize until I was very, very old. And in Belize, they haven't even discovered. They've only discovered a few of the Mayan temples. They're still mm-hmm. covered. They're still covered there.
Oh yes, and in so many parts of the world, they are. It's because of technology today that we're really in the period of rewriting history.
Absolutely.
As we have perceived it, our perceptions are expanding, and it's very challenging. But it's provable. It's not something that, again, is coming from la-la land or what people would perceive as la-la land. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of fact and information here. Because of your Native American background, that has a very strong influence on a lot of the things that you have evolved into, I feel. And you have a wonderful story in your book about the meaning of feathers. Now, there is a prophecy that you mention in your book, and it reads as follows: when the condor from the south meets the eagle from the north, a new day for earth will awaken and peace will prevail on earth. You talk about how in the native culture, if you find feathers or there is a gift that is given to you of a feather by someone else, that is very, very special. And I had to just think to myself, because I have a cup downstairs that's filled with feathers of different sizes, shapes, and colors that I find on my walks here in the Pacific Northwest. Mm-hmm. And I thought, now that is very interesting. There are so many people that have said that they will ask for a symbol of being heard or communicated with, and a feather will show up on their deck or someplace, and they go, isn't this interesting? This is quite a unique bit of information to add in your book, Look Up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that it's very powerful, and it's very honorable to receive or find a feather. Like just the other day, it still to this day blows my mind, because I've found hundreds of feathers and I've been gifted hundreds of feathers throughout my whole life, literally. And the other day, there's an Egyptian feather, a ostrich feather is a Maat feather. And Maat is the goddess of truth, justice, and cosmic law. And she is Egyptian goddess. And I'm in this parking lot and I see this, I come back from the store and I see this feather rolling towards my car, and it was an ostrich feather. Now, this is in Arizona. Where are there ostriches in Arizona?
And
I was like, thank you. And it came right towards my door. And I'm like, okay, those are, you know, signs. People, you know, need to notice signs. But, the feathers all have different meanings and knowledges and powers. Like they always talk about the Native Americans, their first feather is brave. When they get initiated to be brave, you are brave to do the work. You're brave to do the mission. Some people are not brave enough to do the mission, so they don't receive feathers or whatever. I mean, they have different kinds of things. I don't know all those details, but I mean, at 16, I received my first eagle feather. Actually my first feather, period, and I didn't even know what it meant at 16. It took many years to figure out, but I knew something deep inside to keep that feather, that it was very special.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was a shaman, honored me in 2004, honored me a condor feather, and now they're together, together, which is the prophecy, which when the condor from the south, which is the Mayan and the Peruvian, are considered the condor from the south. And when they meet the eagle from the north, which is the Hopi and the North American Native Americans, when they meet those two together in ceremony and dance, that peace will, the new age will come in, let's say. You know, they call it the golden age, will come and peace will prevail.
Well, you have so many fascinating stories in your book, Look Up, My Encounters with ETs and Angel. Mm-hmm. Deborah, your last name is also very interesting, Thunderbeat, which is appropriate for your musical talent and skills and Native American background. And people can go to your website, thunderbeat.com, and find out more about you and your very interesting and unique journey that you've experienced, your CDs and all of the other materials that you have on your site, they will be able to explore. Mm-hmm. And I want to ask you if you have a closing thought that you would like to leave with my audience today before we say goodbye.
I do want to say that the angels and the star people are out there, and they're asking us to pray and pray for the Mother Earth and to pray for the goodness to come in, because they can't help unless we ask. So just like Jesus says, ask and shall you shall receive. So this is, they call it a free will zone area, so we need to ask and pray for good things to happen on the planet and helping Mother Earth. So I do want to close with that and to let people know, if they want to read the journey of and more, lot more information on the star people, it is only a $7 download on my website, or they can order the book too. And they can, there's a lot of discounts on the website at thunderbeat.com. So
wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, Deborah, thank you so much for being my guest today. Your stories are wonderful. The experiences that you've had are yours, uniquely yours. And I think one of the gifts that you bring with your material is an openness and a clarity about your experiences. So if anybody else has had something similar, they're not going to think they're wacko. They're going to realize that it is their experience, and they need to honor it and respect it as you have done yours. Deborah Thunderbeat, thank you so much for being my guest today. I wish you continuing success. And again, thank you for being on my show.
Okay. Thank you, Donna.
You're welcome. This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Do you have a product or service that you would like people to know about? Internet radio is a powerful medium that can assist you in reaching people who like to shop online and pass by electronic word of mouth information about you, your products, and or services. The Donna Sebo Show reaches around the world, and you can be part of that enterprising network. For more information, contact Vision Broadcasting via Donna at DelphiInternational.com
or call 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open. 888-627-6008. If you would like to give me a buzz in chat, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Again, the telephone number is 888-627-6008. Well, next week on Monday and Tuesday, we've got a full lineup. You can check it out on my website and also on BBS. And then there is a special announcement that I will be making on Monday and Tuesday. But what I want to do is just share a little bit of trivia with you right now. Oh, my goodness, after having such an absolutely awesome holiday, and if you're like me, you enjoyed delicious food and sharing good times with friends and family. Well, now, yes, the new year is approaching, so we want to be more aware of ourselves and taking better care of ourselves. Well, there are certain seeds that you can eat that really contribute a lot of good things to your diet. And one of those, one of the many seeds are the chia seeds, you have pumpkin seeds, you have flax seeds. And I can remember a girlfriend of mine telling me about her granddad when she was a little girl. Her grandmother and grandfather lived on a farm, and she saw her granddad eating these little tiny seeds. And of course, she was just a little shaver at the time. And she said, "Grandpa, what are you doing?" Because she'd hear this popping sound that he made every time he cracked one of the seeds open with his teeth. And he told her it was flax seeds. And he used to go ahead, help yourself. They're really good for you. They're good to eat, and they're very good for the body. Well, it wasn't until many years later, as a mature woman, when she got involved in nutrition, that she did some research on it and found the benefit of flaxseed. And, of course, there's flaxseed oil and some other things. Well, I know many years ago it was brought to my attention by a student of mine who at the time, I was in my 30s and she was in her 80s. This woman was petite. She was a dynamo. She was very active. And she taught me something about muesli. Now, in the Scandinavian countries, this is something that people like to eat. They'll have their grains, like their oatmeal for breakfast, and they'll put seeds of different types in. Well, she had concocted her own recipe. And by the way, it was in one of my newsletters that I put the recipe. And what she did, she took these different seeds, pumpkin seeds, sunflower seeds, a number of different seeds, and she would soak them in orange juice or apple juice, whatever her favorite juice was. And she put just a little bit, and then when the seeds swelled, she'd add a little bit more juice, and she kept adding juice until the seeds couldn't expand anymore. They had absorbed all of the nourishment of the juice. And for breakfast every morning, she'd have a quarter of a cup of those seeds. And she said it was the most effective roto-rootering system that she had ever developed. And she said, "I'm still doing it today. She said, when I travel, I even take my concoction with me. I don't know in today's world that it would be allowed to carry it on, but she would always have a container of some kind that she would carry on the plane, and or if she was doing international travel, she put things in a container so that when she unpacked wherever she was, her regular routine she could keep up. And she said, my pipes have operated efficiently for years. Well, there's more and more scientific information. Isn't it amazing how people have done things for a long time just because they knew it was the right thing to do? Well, finally, science is catching up with the awareness of the value of seeds. Now, your chia seeds are protein. And I know that they are very, very expensive for a lot of people's budgets. They're $11 a pound, but you get a lot of seeds for in that pound. So it's worth it. It'll last you a while. Hemp seeds, pumpkin, flax, sunflower seeds, all of these seeds you can add to a cereal. You can add it to bread. I've got a girlfriend that made a bread with all kinds of seeds in it. And she said, it's great. She loves it. She has her own recipe. She won't let me share it with you, though, this time. It's sort of a family secret. Anyway, you can do things like this yourself, but I really liked what this 80-year-old woman taught me so many years ago, and letting the seeds soak in a juice. It gives a little bit of the sweetness, and it's going to give flavor, and it really is a very, very effective way of getting the nutrients, and then you have to chew what it is that you're taking in. Now, this is something that people are finding in their research. Omega-3 fatty acids are in many of these different seeds. There's protein, like I mentioned, in the chia seed, and of course, the fiber and iron. So there are so many good things. If you research, you can get yourself into a nutritional patterning in your everyday life by just making little tiny steps. You don't have to do any kind of a mega program, and you don't have to go through any kind of extremism. Just take a little tiny baby steps. We've got a new year that's going to be with us very shortly. All kinds of changes and wonderful things are happening. And by the way, if you'd like to give me a buzz today, the number is 888-627-6008. Now, a little bit of trivia, additional trivia, nostalgia. Know how it is when you're talking with someone and maybe you'll reminisce and you'll listen to this and you go, oh my goodness, what's the value of thinking about the past? Well, by golly, when people talk about the past and when they're reminiscing about different things, it actually makes a big difference in their energy levels. Yes, they've done research on this too. They find that when you go back and you think about certain things, and it gives you feelings, different types of feelings that allow you to explore particular points of experience, it actually helps people fight loneliness and anxiety. And you can use sound and aromatherapy to activate certain memories. That's right. And it's something that they call anticipatory nostalgia, planning moments now that you'll savor later. That is a combination of words, anticipatory nostalgia, put together by Constantine Sedekidis, a PhD. This is something the mind, body, spirit, emotional connection. They work together. They really, really make a difference. That is why NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, and emotional touch therapy, all of these different modalities, when you are mindful, when you're using them, there is a connection that occurs within the body that allows you to empower yourself. Don't just take my word for it. Realize that one of the joys of life is being aware and being open to understanding that there is so much more of your own potential available to you, but you may have to reach out for it. You may need to explore, go to classes. You know, I just mentioned something about touch therapy. And more is coming out about this. Now, anyone that is knowledgeable about Chinese acupuncture, and you don't have to be a master at it, but you can be knowledgeable about it. We're aware of the energy meridians in the body. And just about every culture in the world deals with this in one form or another. But the Chinese have become so sophisticated with it, they actually mapped out the meridians and had specifics that they were able to teach to those people that were interested in learning. And, of course, here in the Western world, in the last 20 years, it's gained more and more acceptance because it has made such a difference in people's lives. Well, one of the conditions that usually will hit people during the cold winter months, and we're right in the middle of winter here, and what will affect people is sinus irritation. And sometimes you get the flu. We've been talking to some people that all of a sudden out of left field got hit with a bug of some kind. How in the world can you give yourself some release? Well, one of the things that you can do is to very gently, especially if you've got a sinus headache, take your fingers, your index and middle fingers, put them directly above the center of your eyebrows, and then close your eyes and apply pressure to that point and gently move your fingers in a small circular motion across the top of your brow bone going towards the end of your eyebrow. And you just, you know, just a few seconds in each spot. You're giving yourself a therapeutic massage. And what you want to do is make little circles as you work your way towards your temples. And you want to massage the entire area for 30 to 60 seconds. Now, if you're really lazy, if you don't want to do it, you can use a vibration unit, and you can very gently make those circles. But just remember, you are touching the points in the head and around the temple areas. But if you use your own fingers, it's a softer. I've known people that have used machines to do this, but it can be sometimes a little bit rough. So depending on what you've got, use your fingers, as far as I'm concerned. That's the best thing. Now, what about achy ears? Have you ever been on a plane flight and your ears get clogged and you ache? This is something you can even remember that you can do with babies when they're on a flight. When your sinuses are blocked, your ears sometimes will have a lot of internal pressure. So what you want to do is massage the lymph nodes around your ears to help flush out the fluid feeling. Now, this is what you do. You take your index finger directly next to your ear canal on your face. And when you open your jaw, you're going to feel an indentation where your ear meets your face. And that is the right spot. And what you're going to do is close your eyes and apply pressure to that point and gently move your fingers upward, applying steady pressure around an inch or so into your hairline. Again, massaging 30 to 60 seconds. You can repeat it. You will be amazed at how that relieves the pressure in the ears. It's just absolutely marvelous. Absolutely marvelous. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. There are so many things changing so very, very fast. This coming year of 2014, I think, is going to be a breakthrough for so many of you. I think that there is a flow, a dynamic that is occurring. You're going to find maybe some upheavals in your space, and you're wondering, what do I do? And I want to say, just be prepared. Adopt that motto. Have not just an expectation for change in the right direction for your highest good and for the good of all concerned that you're going to be coming in contact with, but also the fact that you are going to be in that breakthrough, perhaps eliminating a lot of things in your life that up to a point have meant so much to you, and then it's like, I don't need it anymore. I'm stepping into a new modality. I think many of you are going to be experiencing that, and I want you to not be afraid. I want you to welcome it, because it is going to make tremendous changes in your life. Donna Sebo here. We are going to be taking a break,
And when we come back, we'll have a little bit more of this, that, and the other to share with you. Don't go away.
Have you ever had a paranormal experience, such as seeing a ghost, having precognitive dreams, out-of-body experiences, or other happenings? If so, Donna would like to hear from you. She's putting together a book of 100 stories from people who would like to tell their story. If you'd like to submit yours, send an email to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. Again, send your story to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. Be sure to include your contact information as well. Thank you.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number to call into if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of insight is 888-627-6008. I wanted to chat about a fellow. Oh, actually, it's about sinkholes. And they've been in the news more and more, and they are experiences that when people see them in the process of happening, or when they themselves, that's right, when they themselves end up in one, it's a life-changing experience. And in Waterloo, Illinois, there were, you know, a bunch of guys playing golf. One of them, his name is Mahal, they were out on the golf course, and Mahal was waiting for his golfing partner, Peter, to finish the shot that he had to finish, and he noticed a bathtub-sized depression in a section of the fairway. And while he was waiting for Peter, he got curious, and he walked over, and he stepped into that depression, and then he disappeared. It was just instantaneous, just amazingly fast. Now, he was in a sinkhole. That's right, in a sinkhole. And they said when they were able to get him out, his friends went up to the edge of the sinkhole, and they managed to pull him out. They called for help because he was, the sinkhole had gone, you know, was deep, but it wasn't excessively deep. They at least could get him out. But what was so amazing is that in doing research on this particular sinkhole, the reason it occurred is because for a very long period of time, they estimate literally thousands of years, the limestone bedrock that was underneath the golf course, and it's 30 feet down, a subterranean pit had formed that was topped by a clay arch, and it was just covered with this little bit of turf that he stepped on. And it was a booby trap. They said it was no bigger than a little child's, you know, one of those little plastic swimming pools that the little kids play in. What he did by stepping into it, it was contributing enough weight where it gave way. And again, they were able to get him out. But there's so many more of these that are coming into experience. And I just thought I'd share some of the places. One was in San Francisco, in a broken sewer pipe caused a 40-foot deep sinkhole. Into this sinkhole, a full-sized mansion, it disappeared inside the hole. Poof, just gone. And they evacuated all of the people around because they didn't know how much other property would be affected. And that was in 1995. In 1998, in San Diego, there was, again, a drainage pipe
that burst, and it was that sinkhole, and I've got a photo of it in front of me, is mind-boggling. It was 800 feet long, 40 feet wide, and 70 feet deep. Then in Oklahoma in 2008, this particular sinkhole, they believe, was caused by many, many, many years of mining. And it's an area where they get lead and zinc. And what it did, what they had been doing for so many years, they were not aware that this was going to have a big ecological impact on the town of Pincher, Oklahoma. And it destabilized the ground underneath the whole town. And then the picture of this hole looks like something out of a sci-fi movie. It's just huge. It looks like an asteroid hit the Earth. And then in Guatemala in 2010, this aerial view photograph is just amazing. And I know you've seen some movies with special effects in it. Well, by golly, this one looks like one of those special effects, but it's the real thing. This humongous, and I mean really humongous hole, very, very deep. On top of this hole at one time, before it collapsed, imploded on itself, there was a three-story building. Now, what caused this to happen? Heavy rains. Again, water. You had the one situation with a sewage pipe. You had another one with a drainage pipe. And Hurricane Agatha caused a major, major sinkhole with all of the rain that it dumped and a three-story building. You can't even see the top of the building. The whole earth just totally gave way. It's incredible. Incredible how this happens. Now, what they've surmised is that it starts with water. Many times it's rain, very heavy rains, and when the rain goes through the soil, it reacts with decaying vegetation to create acidic water. Now, what happens with this water? It goes through underground cracks and slowly dissolves bedrock. In many areas, it's a process that's been going on for thousands of years. Yes, thousands of years. What happens? The cracks grow, they create underground caverns, and when the ceilings of these caverns can no longer support the weight that's above them, just like in Guatemala, this humongous sinkhole is formed. Now, what we do as people can have an effect as well. Artificial ponds, drilling water wells, these also have triggered sinkholes. Many times where areas have been drained of oil, and if those holes have not been filled, it can create havoc. So the states that apparently to date that are most affected by this are Florida, Texas, Alabama, Missouri, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Pennsylvania. But it is something as we become more educated about what we do on this planet and how there can be a big ecological effect, I think we're going to get smarter about a lot of the things that we do. But remember, you don't want rain to stop. And sometimes, as they've said, things have been going on for thousands of years, and we're just unaware of what we're building on and what's going on underneath. So I think as technology evolves, we'll be able to make better evaluations, and we won't build in places that will give way underneath us if we get too much rain. This is Donna Sebo. I know we're just about out of time. I hope you have had an absolutely marvelous week. And by golly, New Year's is coming in just a few days. Take time for yourself. Remember, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. And this is an opportunity for you to make an assessment. What do you want your story to be for 2014? Well, take time to ask yourself some pretty pertinent questions, and I think you may come up with a whole new script for the new year of 2014. Donna Sebo here. God bless. Take care. We'll be talking with you. Well, just stay tuned, and we'll be back sooner than you think. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.